Okay. Praise the Lord.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing it again. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is on our court. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, our Savior, God, our Healer, God, our Deliverer. Yes, You are. Yes, You are. Yes, You are. God, our Savior, God. Yes, You are. Yes, You are. So every praise is to You, God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to You, God. Every praise is to You, God.
I know that those songs are a couple of many of our favorite songs to praise the Lord together with. I love praising the Lord alone, but it's very special when the brethren are dwelling together in unity, to be together and to praise the Lord. And as I said, I believe last week, I can tell when I'm in the corporate setting that are praising the Lord and when I'm in a corporate setting that's not praising the Lord together. I think that we have learned from being together so many Wednesdays, so many Sundays, so many times out of the country, out of state, that when we've come together and praise the Lord, there is a bond of unity with Christ. And it's that corporate bond that is so very special. Now, I treasure my time alone with the Lord. I treasure my relationship with the Lord. But He really did make the corporate body such a beautiful thing when we dwell together in unity. And I believe that in the day that we live in, that we're experiencing more and more what the first church must have experienced when they came together, not just in good times, but in very dire times in their own surroundings. And, you know, a lot of times we might say, gosh, I wish I would have known what it was like to be the first church. They had such extraordinary miracles and signs and wonders. But I believe it's because not just the persecution, but God works all things together for good. I think what the pressure did for them is it pressed them closer to the Lord. In other words, they had had a knowledge of the Lord, And then when he left, can you imagine those first believers that actually walked when Jesus walked? But when he left, they had to know that they could get a hold of him. Think about that. They had to know they could get a hold of him. And if anybody here or anybody that you know has never been in that corporate setting where they've experienced the Lord, maybe before they were born again, but they knew these people, like they have just brought the presence of God in a place that I have never experienced. I mean, that was my first experience in a spiritual church. I knew what dead was. I knew what going through ritual was. But when I experienced that, I wanted nothing less than to have that level of a relationship with the Lord. And therefore, I purposely sat in the front row because I didn't want any distractions from people that maybe were just there out of a ritual. And I believe that that's what the fire does. It burns whatever needs to be burnt out of us if we'll let it. And this is a time that so much, I believe, amazing inner works are happening in the body of Christ. As I was seeking the Lord and titled this message again, many times I get the title and I have no idea where I'm going fully with all of this. But, you know, the Holy Spirit uses each one of us in our own way. But he titled today, Born Again to Conquer. He really took me into a lot of deep, fresh looking at the scriptures of what it meant to be born. And born of water, the Bible talks about, and then born again. A lot of people in this day don't know if they're saved. They don't know even what it means to be born again. They've never heard that term. I was one growing up, never heard that term. Never even really heard the term believer. I mean, we have to realize how many people in this world are there. Because I think sometimes we can have such a relationship with the Lord and stay in this little bubble that we have no idea what people are going through out and about that have never had anything. The only taste that they've had is us. Knowing there's something different about them. When the Bible talked about being born of water, and born of the Spirit. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 3. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now you might look at this and think, wow, Nicodemus knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but no, he didn't. He just knew that Jesus was of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice he said born of water and born of the Spirit, or born again. I believe we're going to encounter people that have never truly been born again. They know they were born, and being born of water was the first birth from the womb of a mother. It was the first birth, born of water. When you think of a woman when she has her baby, naturally the water bag breaks. Right? You were born of the water, of this earth. But the second birth is a spiritual birth that Jesus was talking about. And it was being born again. A lot of people really don't understand what it means to be born again. And I remember I'm a question asker, and I was just curious. I don't understand what happened to me on the inside. First of all, I really didn't understand that I was a spirit being. I had a soul and I lived in a body. But I knew I wasn't the same. And when I realized that being born from above, from an incorruptible seed, was that my spirit, something had happened to my spirit. I still had old thoughts, so my mind was still there trying to understand what in the world had happened to me on the inside. And really, that's why I believe that God says that we have to renew the mind. Renew it. Think about renewing the mind. That means we have to bring the mind up to a place of some sort of understanding of what in the world has happened to us on the inside. It's kind of like when people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues. And I remember one time, since I was a counselor for so many different opportunities and church settings, that I remember praying with this one woman, and she opened her mouth. She stuck her finger in her mouth. She goes, I can't speak in a known tongue. And her language, her tongue was trying to speak a language by the Holy Spirit. But her mind was like, what in the world is happening to me? And so when Miriam shared her story about the minister that says, well, you never really truly were born again, a lot of times we have to really ask people, have you ever been born again? And they might say, well, what in the world does that mean? Because the second birth is the born again birth, and it's a spiritual birth. I wrote something down, and I just wanted to read this to you, because to me it was so well worded. I think it was out of the vine. It says, the more we deeply know Christ and what he did for us and all man, the deeper our hearts will long to pray for the lost souls of all men and the maturing of the believer. I'm going to read that again. The more we deeply know what Christ did for us and all man, the deeper our hearts will long to pray for the lost souls of all man and the maturing of the believer. It says, through the sacrifice of Christ, he who believes upon him is by God's own act delivered from justly deserved wrath and come under covenant, a covenant of grace. I want you to think about this is what happened when we believed. That we actually were delivered from a justly deserved wrath. And a lot of times people say, oh, this person is just so, they're just such a good person. But just because somebody may do a lot of good things doesn't mean they have been delivered from the wrath that they will experience if they are not born again. It says, never is God said to be reconciled. Okay? Never is God said to be reconciled. A fact itself indicative that the enmity exists on man's part alone. A lot of people were brought up thinking God is mad at them. I want you to think about this because this will help us in preaching the gospel to people in the days ahead. They think he's mad because they were brought up thinking God is mad at you. He's thumping on you. He is not mad at all. He has already reconciled himself. But it's man who needs to be reconciled to God. You know, I was thinking about a relationship that was unreconciled. And on my part, I had reconciled it. Years ago, I reconciled it. But it took years for the other person to come to me and say they had reconciled it. What do I mean by that? They had forgiven. A lot of times people are just trying to say, well, just ask Jesus in your heart. It's not about just asking Jesus in our heart. It's about admitting we have fallen short. It's admitting we were lost, that we have fallen short of his glory because of Adam. Because of the fall of man, all of us have fallen short. And there's no way that we can make ourselves okay except by acknowledging that we have fallen short. It's just say what God says. Lord, I fell short. Now, a lot of people have a lot of animosity against Adam and Eve, but that's part of our fallen state of thinking, is to have animosity towards things that we do not know the whole picture. It's like when you see people on the news and they're doing all this stuff that's crazy. We're not the judge because we don't know the whole picture. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. We just know they're not in their right mind. And so it's man that needs to be reconciled to God, not God to man. But I think this is a powerful truth. And I think it can help your prayer life as you pray for people that have great needs. There's things that need to be reconciled. It says his attitude does not change. He can act differently towards those who come to him by faith. Now listen to this. God can act differently to somebody that comes to him by faith solely on the ground of the sacrifice of Christ, not because they're a good Christian. This is where religion has messed a lot of people up, that what Jesus did was enough for all of us to come boldly before the throne of grace. That doesn't mean God's going to give us all this responsibility if we are not mature enough to handle it. Because he says, too much is given, much is required. And I think we talked a little bit about that yesterday with Miriam. You have to grow into these things. He doesn't just put anybody in places of authority. The world does. But God doesn't put anybody in places of authority without trying them and testing them. It says that, I'm going to go back and read this. His attitude does not change. So I want you to think about anything that maybe you've done to fall short. Oh my gosh, I never did this, even since you've been saved. His attitude has not changed towards you. He freely gave us a full, complete payment or sacrifice for every one of our sins. And it's like, I remember a lot of times a new believer may come to another believer and they'll see that other believer fall short. And they'll try to almost put them on the cross again instead of, they're supposed to confess their fault. They're supposed to repent, which means admit what I did was wrong and turn from it, but not be condemned about it. That's what religious spirits do. So since his attitude doesn't change, he can act differently towards those that come to him by faith. And this is why I think some people get jealous when a new believer comes and they have extraordinary things happen because they receive such a depth of forgiveness. Because his forgiveness is solely on the ground of the sacrifice of Christ, not because of what anybody else did or didn't do. And it's not because he's changed, but because he ever acts according to his unchanging righteousness. This is why that the work on the cross is the means whereby the barrier which sin interposes between God and man is broken. Maybe you never thought about that. That work on the cross, that barrier that sin interposes, and boy, sin definitely tries to bring a wedge between man and God. But it's broken when we acknowledge that we have fallen short. This is why once you're born again, you don't have to get born again. Because I remember when I was first saved, I thought, do I need to get born again? No, I was just becoming more aware of things and areas that I had fallen short that I had never acknowledged that I had fallen short in those things and that I needed more understanding so that I could cooperate more. I love that God gave up through Jesus his sinless life sacrificially, which annuls the power of sin to separate between God and the believer. I hope that after today, as you're praying for yourself, as you're praying for others, that you have a deeper understanding of the power of Jesus' sacrifice and what it has annulled. Because our adversary will try to throw your past to you or any little sin. But I always say, how fast can you confess and repent? Which repentance means to turn. How fast can you confess? Confess means just to admit, Lord, what I'm doing is wrong. It's the same as we pray for others. I don't have this big chip on my shoulder about ungodly people because I understand we're all going to have to stand before God one day. But my part now is to ask the Lord to open the eyes of their understanding. Open their eyes and break the power of the devil off of them. I was reading a story, and it was Brother Hagin. I've read this off and on for years, but it was one soul that he wanted to pray for, and he kept asking the Lord to save him, and the Lord said, why are you doing that? I've already saved him. It's just pray that his eyes be open and he receive it. And it was his brother that hung out with Bonnie and Clyde. And I've shared with you all before that I was in a prayer meeting here in Downey buying a Bible for John and praying with these people, and in walks this big dude, and it was Brother Hagen's brother. I mean, who would have thought that after reading all of these stories and the testimonies that this man that I just met, now born again, serving God, hung out with Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, it's like a storybook thing. But I saw him born again. I saw Brother Hagen's brother prophesying at this prayer meeting I was at, full of God. And here, of all people, this man that had come from such deep darkness. And it wasn't just the Bonnie and Clyde. Brother Hagen came from a very rough upbringing, not really knowing his father, having a very sick mother. So they didn't really have put into them what they needed. And here I find out that this man is going to go back and get some Bibles. And that was when I said, I have to have a Bible for my husband that was not saved yet. And I have to get it through this person. There was just something of God that what it did for me, it increased my faith in God. That when we truly pray for lost humanity, that he will move mountains, he will send people, he will set up scenarios to bring these people into the kingdom of God. We just have to hear who he's asking us to pray for. I don't pick my assignments. I just say, Lord, who, what is it that you have need of for me? And then when he gives us an assignment, we hold on to it. It's an assignment. It's like if you went to work and your boss gave you a specific assignment to do, you do it until it's completed. And so if you have been praying for certain souls for years, do not give up, my friend. Because if God's given you that assignment, it's because he desires to put that desire upon somebody's heart to pray for them. Because the Bible says, unless Zion travails, she doesn't bring forth her children. Unless the body of Christ prays for the lost, they're not going to come into the kingdom of God. This is one reason that we were left here, is that souls would be saved. It's our turn. It's our generation. Brother Hagen and others have gone on to be with the Lord, and the Lord is still working with them. They're still ever living. They're the great cloud of witnesses. I want you to think about the great cloud of witnesses that are watching what's going on. What do you think they're doing? Do you think they're for us or against us? Do you think they want us to learn like they learned? Because I know what we don't learn here, we will learn throughout eternity. So let the Holy Spirit in this day put on your heart, first of all, a deeper understanding of what it means for you to be born again. To really understand your spirit was recreated when you were born again. I remember asking Miriam in the beginning years that I met her, and it was one of these deep questions that I had. I said, what happened to my old spirit? I don't know how many people have asked that question, but she looked at me. She didn't respond right away. She said, it was recreated. Don't you ever wonder what happened to your dead spirit? I think it's good to have questions like this. Because if you understand that your spirit man that is born from above was recreated, you'll understand it will never agree with you disobeying God. It will never agree that sickness is the will of God. It will never agree with fallen thinking, with religious thinking. This is why we need to pray in tongues often and build up ourselves, because it will keep us in an awareness that we are born from above. If we keep watching what's going on around us today, we're going to stay in a very soulish place, and we're not going to see that what God is doing behind the scenes is opening doors of opportunity to preach the good news, to bring life to people. I've been having so much opportunity to minister to my own mother. I mean, I'm talking about high spiritual things that I have never talked about. Deep, deep understanding of what it means. Deep spiritual things. How many of you, and I'm sure you could probably unmute yourself and say, would love to have these deep spiritual conversations with people that are lost or people that are very young believers? Sometimes it takes just making a statement that the Holy Spirit will have you make, and sometimes it takes them asking a question. Sometimes it takes us asking a question. You know, I've spent enough time with people at the end of their life that I will ask them many times if they're not sure. Are you sure you have eternal life? Are you sure? And if they're not, I made sure that they were. If they did, I tried to get them to the highest place of a relationship and an experience with the Lord before they left. And that takes a lot of wisdom to work with people, to wait for those timings, to talk to them, to know how far can I go? Because the spirit of man that God created is able, even in its unsaved state, to receive. You know, when you see people, their heart is not right with them. We're seeing plenty in this day that are doing evil because their heart was able to receive it. So our part is to take authority over the evil voices. Think about what Reese Howells did. And I think this is so important. It's one part of his book that sets and sits with me so much, because I know that many that are in leadership have different levels of spiritual awareness from the dark side. And when Reese Howells prayed, God had to give him some kind of revelation that Hitler consulted an astrologer. Somehow he knew this, either by just revelation or through fact, through somebody else having revelation. But for him to say during the war that the Holy Spirit had given him that one prayer, that Hitler would not consult his astrologer, and that was a documented day in history that the war turned in favor of overcoming that evil. I believe that we live in a day we need to be able to hear the Holy Spirit's prayers for our families, for those that we're out and about ministering to. You know, I had to hear to speak to you all today. I had to hear what the Spirit says we need to hear. And I believe this is a powerful thing, because the Lord wants people born again, born from above. He doesn't want people like Nicodemus to be unsure of where they may be going. This is why people on their deathbed many times will have somebody come in to find out where they are, because some people will not make these types of decisions until they're at the very end of their life. And I believe the Holy Spirit has told me it's for many reasons, but each one is an individual. So I believe as the Holy Spirit leads us, that we need to seek Him on everything that we pray about. Make sure the Holy Spirit is giving you the request. And then let the Holy Spirit show you. You may have to speak in tongues, or speak meaning pray. In other words, don't just speak words in tongues, but your mind's going all over the place. Your mind should be a servant to your spirit. And so as you speak in tongues, listen down on the inside and let the Holy Spirit show you what it is you need to pray. And I'm going to tell you, when you get a new assignment, like some of the new assignments that I've been given, it takes time to work with the Holy Spirit to begin to know the way to pray. when you get an assignment to pray for someone's soul, I mean, not just a one-time, I ask, Lord, that you send laborers, but you say, you know, Lord, here I am. You can use me as a laborer if you need to, but show me the way to pray. I'm telling you, when you get an assignment to pray for someone's soul, the Holy Spirit will give you much insight in things that maybe have happened to the person and how they got where they are today. Because nobody in their right mind, and I'll always say this, I don't care who they are as a leader in this world, nobody in their right mind would race through life to go to hell. Every single person is a creation of God. But that doesn't mean that we have been assigned to specifically bring this person into the kingdom, but we still can ask the Lord to send the laborers to those, and then ask Him to send you. Send me to those that you need me to bring the good news to, Lord, to bring into the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, if you will yield to the Holy Spirit in this day, He's going to give you extraordinary assignments that you can accomplish with Him. You have to start someplace. Praise the Lord. The only way that people can be born again is to have the words of life sown into them. They have to make a decision, which means they have to have an enlightenment. They have to have revelation that they're lost, that they have fallen short. And, you know, you could take this understanding into anything. Maybe you're praying for somebody that needs to be healed, but they don't understand it is the will of God that they be healed. And it may take, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, much enlightenment on our part to intercede to help someone come into that place of understanding. So I believe that this is a day that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand we were born again to conquer. We're not here defeated. This is a time that we can use to be equipped more thoroughly spiritually with our time, not only in fellowship with the church, but in our time alone. Much of what we will learn to grow is in our own experiences with the Lord. As Miriam talked about awarenesses, those awarenesses. When she talked about awareness, I was thinking of the day I was aware I wasn't born again. The day I was aware I was born again. The day I was aware I needed more, that I was a wimp, and there had to be something more than just being born again. And so these are stages, just like in children growing up, they go through different stages of development and abilities to understand. And as our spirit man is taught the things of God, our soul will begin to understand more fully these things that we need. So, Father, I just thank you for greater spiritual revelation upon the body of Christ in this day, greater understanding of spiritual matters. I ask, Father, that you would work within the body of believers a greater ability to understand how they came into the kingdom of God, what these specific things that took place within them, so that they're better able to communicate the gospel to others, that they would go back to the day they knew they were born again, and that you would bring greater understanding to what took place in them, what they heard that helped them to understand. And so I praise you for this, Lord, because I know in this greater revelation, greater understanding in us, that you will be able to use us in greater ways in the days ahead. And Father, we praise you for this. Amen.